everyone. This is episode 12 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast, and I'm your host, Summer. You can find me on Ravelry and on Instagram as Summer Yarns, which is SOMERYARNS. And I'd love it if you would follow me or friend me on either one of those. You can also join the Kitchen Stitches Ravelry group on Ravelry, which I noticed today we are up to 44 members. So welcome to all of you newcomers. And I'd also like to thank Renee, who is U Creek Cottage on Ravelry and on Instagram, for the new iTunes review. I appreciate all of the reviews, and I know that all of your other podcast buddies appreciate them too, because it helps make the knitting podcast much more visible. Plus, you know, it's always nice to hear that people like listening. This will probably be a fairly short episode. I don't have a ton of projects because I haven't been monogamous, but I have been focused. That's a good word. So I will talk tonight, which is Saturday, February 15th, and it's about 7:30 at night, a little earlier than I have managed to record the past few times. I am going to try my best to stifle my yawns, so hopefully nothing will sneak through. Anyway. Tonight, I'm going to talk about my finished objects, my hoe, yes, I do have a half-finished object, my works in progress, new on the needles, upcoming projects, sort of, my knit-along, and a little bit of in the kitchen. I don't have a whole lot of in the kitchen to share tonight. So let's get started, and I'm going to talk about my finished objects. I do have one finished object this week, and that is I'm calling them my pseudo Kebnekaise socks. I am using the Kebnekaise pattern by Frida of Friday Studios. Sorry, I didn't write that in my notes this week. And I'm using that. That was my inspiration. I did modify these socks quite a bit from her pattern. I knit these in McMullen Fiber Company in the President Snow colorway, which was a part of a Hunger Games series from about 2 years ago. And this yarn is interesting. When I first started these, I thought it was going to be a lot of white with splotches of red. But as it turns out, I think that it's probably about equal amounts white and red with some red-ish thrown in there. They are very interesting looking. The Kebnekaise pattern itself, this is a free pattern, so I can talk about this. Basically, the pattern is, I don't remember what the cuff was. I think it was I don't remember what the actual pattern called for. But the main part of the sock, the leg and the foot, had you knit most of the sock, but when you got to a color change, you would purl it. And this was really good for socks that had just a splotch of color and you wanted to highlight, do something a little bit different from a normal, just vanilla sock. I modified it quite a bit. I took the main idea, which was the purling, the color changes, but for my cuff, I did a twisted rib. And then I did the leg in the suggested pattern, and then did a garter stitch short row heel, and then a garter stitch toe. There was a lot more red in the yarn than I thought there was going to be, so these are very heavily textured socks. I wasn't sure how I liked them at first, but they fit really nice, and on, they look really good. If you look at the pattern, if you look at the pictures on my project page, you can see they look a little odd. Every time I showed them to anybody, it was never, oh, those are so pretty, like you often get with whatever you're knitting, but more of a, huh, those are interesting. And that's kind of how I feel about them. They are just a tiny bit too loose. I think I did 56 stitches, and I actually probably could have done fewer. I think I probably could have kept the leg the same and then decreased a little bit more on the foot. They're a tiny bit loose, but they fit well enough. Anyway, I'm very pleased with them. I recommend the pattern. if you ever want to try it. I also have a half-finished object, a hoe. These are my Rosa Rosa Rubiginosa socks from the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet by Hunter Hammerson. These I also did in McMullen Fiber Company in the Prem colorway, also from the Hunger Games Sock Club. These are basically they're tonal pink with a little bit. It's a very, very pale pink thrown in there. It almost looks white, but it's very pale pink. So lots of different colors of pink. And these socks are so pretty. I think I probably mentioned when I talked about these in my last episode that I'm not generally a pink person, but these socks are just, they're just lovely. And the color matches the flower that they are based on just perfectly. I love these socks. I am attempting to finish these actually in the, you know, within a month because I'd like to enter them in Nerd Wars. And I also want to enter them in the Stitch Addiction Yarn Club, Yarn a Month Club. I don't remember what she's calling it. So I want to enter them in that. So far, I am mostly on target. I did the first sock in almost 14 days. I finished it today on the 15th. If I up my time spent on that just a little bit, I can finish by the 28th. This is a great pattern. I have only knit one other pair of socks out of the Knitter's Curiosity Cabinet, and it was very fiddly. That was the, I cannot remember the name. I don't remember which pattern that was. Pseudo Narcissus. Narcissus Pseudo Narcissus. That's what it was. That one was much more fiddly. This pattern is very straightforward. It's just yarn overs and knit two togethers and slip knit. If you can do those, you can knit this pattern. Very easy. And like I said, very lovely. My work's in progress. I am obviously still working on the Rosa Rubiginosa socks. I need to cast on my second sock. I probably won't cast that on until tomorrow. I am still working on my noodle by Susan Claudino. I got one leg done, so I think that puts me one step further than it was the last time I podcast. I thought I had done more. Maybe not. I may have sewn stuff together since then. But I've got one leg done. I need to do the other three in the tail and it will be done. If I set my mind to it, I could do it in a day, but my heart's not in it. I love the pattern and it's going to be so adorable and the recipient is going to love it, but it's not got my mind right now. So if I could just do one leg a day, I could be finished by the end of the week. I think I said that last week. Obviously it didn't happen. I am doing that out of Three Irish Girls in her Springvale Worsted in the You Are My Sunshine colorway, which is blues and purples and greens and yellows. It's really pretty. The other work in progress, I am still working on my Vanilla Latte Socks by Virginia Rose Jeans, who is my mom. I am doing those in the Hiwassee Creek Dye Works in the Party Gras colorway, which is the traditional Mardi Gras colors of purple, gold, and green. And I am doing one stripe a day on those. I mentioned last week that I had finished one sock. I have finished I have not finished the second sock. I finished the heel on the second sock just a little while ago. So I'm on the home stretch. I don't remember how many stripes I need to do on the foot. I think it was 9 and then the toe. I will finish it well before Mardi Gras so I can gift these to their recipient. And I know that she's going to love them as well. I love soft striping because I can just do one stripe a day. And I'll be good. It actually makes me want to knit a pair for my husband again. Because if I know that I'm just going to have to do a stripe a day, I can get through them. So I'm on the lookout for self-striping yarn for that. The other things, last week I had a ton of things to talk about. All of the other projects that I have that I'm just doing a little bit of quota knitting on mostly got ignored this week. I think I might have worked on my Monster Cowl by Julia Allen and my Friendship Socks by Lauren McMorty. Sorry, Lauren. I think I might have worked on those a little bit this week, but for the most part, it was socks, a little bit of noodle, and then a couple of other things that are new on the needles that I am going to talk about. I was supposed to go to Austin last weekend with my husband, who had a workshop on Saturday, and at the last minute, literally last minute, our plans fell through, and he went and I stayed home. And to console myself, I let myself cast on projects during the opening ceremonies for the Olympics. These are not officially Revelinic projects because I know that I won't finish them. I just cast them on. But the first one I cast on is a clapotee using blue heron rayon metallic in the blue violet colorway. And this is one of my, Fat Squirrel called it. She had a challenge earlier this year, late last year, the Squirrel It Away. And if I had it in me, I would have cast this on during that because that's how precious this yarn was. Years ago, when one of our local yarn stores was still open, they had a clapotee on display made out of this yarn that was just gorgeous. And I decided then and there that one day that's what I was going to make. And that yarn is fairly pricey. I think it is about somewhere around $45 a skein. And that was more than I was willing to pay full price for. But a couple of years ago, I got an Amazon local coupon for another LYS that, I think it was half price. I don't remember exactly what it was. So I was able to get a really good deal on this yarn. I actually took a spinning class and then bought the yarn, and so I considered it a discount. It is a beautiful yarn. It is, well, obviously it's rayon and has it's rayon metallic, as the name implies, and it's just these beautiful blues and purples, and it's just absolutely gorgeous and drapey, and it is going to make a lovely clapotee. I have finished the increases, and I'm on the straight portion of the scarf, and since I do only have one skein of this yarn, this will be a scarf size and not the full wrap, but that's fine. It's still going to be about 12 inches in width, which is perfect. I am doing these on my size 8 needles. I'm using the Chinese needles that everyone's talking about that my mom gave me for my birthday. And actually I'm really liking those. I don't do a great review, but I wanted to try a project on these, and I've had no problems with the joins. I really like the cable. The needles themselves are nice and light. I like the points. So I'm really happy with them. I don't remember how much they cost. I didn't buy them. But if you have a chance to get them, I recommend them. It's a nice way to, you know, build your needle supply. The other thing I cast on during the opening ceremonies was a TGV, and I've mentioned this in the past couple of podcasts, that I was thinking about casting this on with my Undead Yarn in Zombified, which is a neon green with splotches of black in it. And I am also using my Chinese needles for that. I'm using size 6, but I am going to need to switch those out to a different set of needles because the cable isn't long enough to do a shawl. But with the clapotee, I kind of just wanted to try out the needles. And I wasn't exactly sure how long the cable was. I know now that it's definitely not going to be long enough for the shawl, but that's what I've got them on right now. And this was working up actually pretty much exactly like I expected it to. It is going to be a very interesting looking shawl with the neon green and the black. I love the yarn. I'll have to find, you know, the right shirt to wear it with and maybe the right outing. I'm not sure. I don't know. I would wear it pretty much anywhere. I'm not particularly concerned too much with what people think about what I'm wearing. Anyway, so those are my new on the needles. And those two, along with the socks and the noodle, are what has caught my attention this week. Upcoming projects, I don't have anything particularly specific. I do have a coworker whose wife is having a baby in the next, I guess, about 6 weeks. I think she's due in early April. And I have a little, I have a Beanie Boo penguin on my desk that my family gave me for Mother's Day last year. And every time he walks past my desk, he comments on the penguin. He loves the penguin. And I think he might have asked me to make him one time. And at some point he mentioned that he was having a baby. So I really do want to look and see if I can find a nice penguin pattern, either knit or crochet, that I can make him for and his wife for their baby shower. If I don't do that, it's not that big a deal. I have several baby hats that I had crocheted a couple of years ago. I was thinking about starting an Etsy shop and was working on some stock. And I've decided since then that I probably will never actually start the shop. So I have a few of these hats that are nice go-to gifts if I need a baby gift real quick. So he will probably get one of those and possibly the penguin too. I want to remind everyone that we do have a knit along in the group. It's the Christmas all year long knit along. The idea is to knit something holiday related to kind of build your stash, I guess you could call it your stash for next year. My plan is to knit one ornament a month so that I can have a little tabletop Christmas tree. It can be for any holiday, any winter holiday. It can be any craft. I just ask that you be a member of the group. I will give quarterly prizes. So the first prize will happen at the end of March. And I am working with my mom, or I have not actually started working other than her telling me that she will of course donate something. But I plan to have something from my mom's shop, which is Absolute Wonder on Etsy, as the grand prize at the end of the year. I will actually put the real rules in the Ravelry group. But I'm not a stickler. You can double dip. Like I said, any craft, any winter holiday, it can be a gift for someone, whatever you want to do. The only real rule is that you do need to be a member of the group. In the kitchen, I don't actually have a whole lot to talk about, but as I was cooking a few things, I decided, these would be good topics. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is grilled cheese. Everybody's favorite. Okay, maybe not everybody's favorite, but a lot of people's favorite. I've loved grilled cheese sandwiches for really pretty much as long as I remember. And all we've ever done, all mom did and all I did for most of my life was just white bread or wheat bread, whatever, and butter and a slice of American cheese. And I really do like that sandwich. It's comfort food for me, for sure. But I got a cookbook. Oh, no, it's not exactly a cookbook. I got a book for Christmas last year, which was Serious Eats. And there's more to the title, but if you check on Amazon, just search for Serious Eats, you'll find it. And what it is, for the most part, is it talks about different types of food and different restaurants in different areas and the best barbecue or the best fried chicken or, whatever, in different places, and highlights different restaurants and different styles of this food and highlights some of recipes. And it is a really great book. It's not something that I would have thought I would read cover to cover, but I ended up reading it. I just loved this book. But one of the recipes they had in there was for the best grilled cheese, and I don't even remember if it was a recipe from a restaurant or if it was just something they had cooked up in their kitchens or what, but it truly is the best grilled cheese that I have ever had. So I thought I would talk about how I have learned to make a grilled cheese. And this is certainly not a light recipe. I don't have it very often because it's pretty heavy. And it just, you know, kind of, it upsets my stomach. And you know. But every once in a while, you just need a really good grilled cheese sandwich. So this is what they do. Basically, the end measurements, of course, could change, and what types of cheese you use could change. But what he has, he being whoever the author of the book was, has you do is melt butter in a skillet. And then after the butter is melted, you lay your bread, your two slices of bread down in it and move it around the pan to soak up the melted butter and heat it until that is toasted. And then I always have to get this right in my head because he actually, when the recipe as he writes it is for two sandwiches. So you could do that separately. You could do one, you know, one slice at a time or whatever. This is how I did it the last time. I, you know, did the bread, soaked up the butter, and then take that off the heat and turn it over so that the butter side is up and lay a slice of American cheese on one side and a slice of some other type of sliced cheese. I used cheddar last time, but I've used other kinds as well. On the other side, and then put them together, you know, sandwich the cheese between the two breads, and then melt a little more butter in the skillet and put the bread back in, soak it up, toast it. Put a little bit more butter. Yeah, I know, a lot of butter. But you don't have to do a whole lot of butter. You just, you know, just enough to butter. Just kind of the same amounts that you would use to butter the bread if you had sliced it. This is just a different step and it makes the bread soak it up a little bit. But, and then, so a little more butter, flip it over and toast that side. And that sandwich is so good. The buttery bread just makes it. And one of the things that I, you know, one of the problems I've always had making grilled cheese sandwiches, and I don't remember my mom having this trouble, and so I'm probably doing something wrong, but I always pressed the bread down, and so it just was a squishy sandwich. This, you don't have to do that. It's nice and, you know, just like nice buttered toast with cheese sandwiched in between it, and it is delicious. I will try to remember to post in the group and on the blog the name of my, of that book. All I know right off is that it's Serious Eats. And there is a website, Serious, I'm sure it's seriouseats.com, that you can check out too. The other things I wanted to talk about, I made my first homemade bread last week. Well, it's the first homemade bread that I remember. We did have a bread machine many years ago that we used occasionally, and the bread was delicious from that. But the loaves were so small, and when you've got four people in your family, and, you know, that bread isn't going to go very far. So I've been wanting to learn to make my own bread for a long time, but I just haven't got around to it. So last week I searched and found a really easy recipe that I did completely in the KitchenAid, so, you know, no kneading on my part, and it came out beautifully, and it was delicious. I don't even remember where I got the recipe from. I would have to Google it. But I think I probably just Googled KitchenAid bread and came up with something. But it made two loaves, and one of them I flattened and sprinkled cinnamon and sugar and rolled up and had, so we had cinnamon sugar bread. And the other one I just made a regular white bread loaf. And it was really delicious, and I felt so accomplished. So I highly recommend that if you haven't ever done it, especially if you have a stand mixer. It's so easy. It's almost embarrassingly easy. So that was my accomplishment for the week. And then the only other thing, that's not true, because I did make something today that I'll talk about. But last night was Valentine's Day. I actually did not bake for Valentine's Day this year. It's just been a busy week. And I worked, you know, I worked all week, and I just didn't really feel like baking yesterday. So we actually bought desserts. We went to the grocery store and picked up each individual desserts for each of us. And I had a piece of some kind of chocolate cheesecake that was delicious but very rich. I didn't even eat the whole thing. But we had, for dinner, we had ribeyes and just rice-a-roni. I mean, nothing spectacular. Pepperidge Farm, garlic bread. I mean, it was not an intricate meal by any stretch of the imagination. But what I wanted to talk about was a ribeye because I love me a steak. I grew up with a dad who loved to barbecue. He loved to grill. So, I mean, I've been eating steaks for as long as I can remember. And I guess this is a regional thing, but I grew up with marinated steaks. You know, we didn't, here in Texas, if you go to a steakhouse, you're going to get just, I mean, it's just a steak. It might have a little bit of garlic butter or something, but it's not marinated in anything. But since I grew up with marinated steaks, that's what I prefer. Sometimes we get lazy and we'll just grab Dale's, whatever, I don't remember what, you know, it's a marinade. I'll just grab Dale's and marinate that for a few minutes, especially if we're on a, if it's, you know, we decided last minute that we want to do one, because you can marinate them for about 15 minutes and it's going to have a great flavor. What I did yesterday, and this is a much better way, there is a recipe on the web, and I've seen it in multiple places. So if you Google, like, best marinade for steaks or something like that, you'll probably come up with something similar. And it is vegetable oil, soy sauce, lemon juice, Dijon mustard, and garlic. And I think that's all. Oh, and red wine vinegar. And I marinate mine, if I remember and I have time, I'll marinate mine all day. And this is a really delicious marinade. I think the actual marinade also calls for sliced onions as well, which I'm sure if you like onions, that would be great, but I don't do onions. We are big time medium rare folks, and we ended up last night with these just delicious steaks. Our local grocery store, well, we have a lot, but we're actually in a weird place. We have one grocery store that's literally right around the corner from us, but it's the neighborhood. We live one street outside of Houston city limits, and the side of Houston that we live right outside of is not the best part of Houston. It's not the worst part of Houston, but it's not the best. And that grocery store is actually in Houston. It's very convenient, but it's not, I don't like to go there all that often. Well, they opened a Fiesta about 10 minutes from my house. And Fiesta grocery stores, these are regional grocery stores, and they really vary depending on the neighborhood. They're very international. But the one that opened by our house is I think they call it Fiesta Marketplace, and it's a more upscale Fiesta, but it's very small. Well, Fiesta just recently got this line of meat. I think it's called Lone Star beef or something like that. And this was the first time we'd had it. And a lot of the times if we get steaks from the grocery store, not from the actual butcher, but just pick them up from the meat department, they're fairly thin. They often have a little bit of gristle. They're not the best steaks in the world. Well, these steaks were fabulous. They were at least about an inch thick. They didn't have any gristle. They were tender. They were delicious steaks. So if you happen to live near a Fiesta, I highly recommend that brand of meat. They just started carrying that probably within the past couple of weeks. I know recently when I went to the grocery store, they actually had samples of it. And I think there's a billboard on the freeway that is advertising for it right now. So I know it's new. But anyway, that was my, there's my steak, not mistake rave for the night. And then the last thing I want to talk about food wise is is banana bread. This morning, as I was looking at Instagram, I saw my mom had posted that she was going to make banana bread. And I actually have quite a bit of banana frozen in my freezer, duh. And was enabled by her to go ahead and make some banana bread myself. I have my book club tomorrow, and I had been trying to think of something to bake, but I really did not want to go to the grocery store today. So this was perfect. And this makes two loaves, so even more perfect. So I had a loaf for my family, and we had a loaf for me to take to the grocery store. I am not going to talk too much about the recipe because my mom, who is a free spirit one on Instagram, did actually post her recipe, and I suspect if I ask very nicely, she will post it in our Ravelry group. But of course, you know, since this was my mom's recipe, this is the recipe for banana bread that I've grown up with, and it's absolutely delicious. I had a little bit of when cooking attacks today. It didn't affect the taste of the banana bread at all, but the size pans that she recommends is a 4x8 loaf pan, and I have 9x5. You would think that the 1-inch difference wouldn't make that big of a difference, but my loaves were about 1.5 inches tall, maybe 2 inches tall. So they, you know, in geometry people, that did not work in my favor. But it didn't burn. The banana bread tasted fine. It was just a little squat. For the loaf that I'm taking to book club tomorrow, I was a little worried. You know, I'm like, oh, can I really take this? This looks stupid. Well, no, it was fine. What I did was just cut it down the middle and then cut slices a little thinner than maybe I would normally, and then cut it down the middle. So they're almost kind of like cookie sized pieces of banana bread. So it'll be fine. And everybody, you know, loves it. The only thing I did different from my mom's recipe is I happened to have some decorative sugar crystals that I had bought actually for a muffin recipe not too terribly long ago. And I sprinkled the top with that, so it has that nice little crunchy, sugary goodness on top of it. But other than that, I stuck exactly to her recipe, and it is absolutely delicious. So, Mom, please post that to the Ravelry group, so if anybody wants it, they can partake. Let me see. I don't really think I have anything else to talk about. I do want to, you know, I do. I had a bad experience, and so I'm purloining the two knitlet chicks. Thumbs up, thumbs down, except it's only my thumbs down. I had my PayPal account hacked it was the day before my birthday, so 2 weeks ago, someone got into my PayPal account using my password and purchased something from the Sony Entertainment, like, online store, probably a game download, I don't know what it was. Two charges of $50, two charges of $10. It wasn't the end of the world. At least it wasn't thousands of dollars or anything like that. But within 45 minutes, I mean, I noticed, you know, I get emails as soon as a transaction is made on PayPal. So as soon as the transaction went through, I saw it. And within 45 minutes, I had called PayPal and told them, and they had marked them as unauthorized. But because it was an instant payment, it had already gone through. Well, they told me to call Sony. Well, Sony didn't do anything. Basically, they looked for my email address as an account, and of course they didn't find anything because I don't have a Sony account, but the account didn't have to be in my name in order for them to make a purchase. I just needed to use my PayPal account. So the person at Sony was stupid, but they told me to call my bank and they would start a fraud claim. Well, because the money actually hadn't made it to my bank yet, they couldn't start anything, but said, if something comes through, call us, you know, we'll start an investigation. Well, of course, the next day, on my birthday, these charges come through, and we called the bank. Took care of it. You know, they said that, you know, we put a stop payment on anything PayPal, and, you know, didn't worry about it. They said they would refund the money in about 10 days. Well, finally, Thursday morning, I got emails from PayPal for each of those four transactions saying that the bank had declined the transaction. And checked the bank account, and sure enough, they had refunded our money, so that was good. Except for the next 2.5 days, I kept getting emails from PayPal telling me that my bank had declined the transaction. Well, yes, of course they had. I told them to. And they also, because I guess because every time something weird would happen, like when I first noticed it, I changed my password. As soon as they, you know, processed everything, they told me to change my password. As soon as the bank declined it, they told me to change my password. So I had to change my password 3 or 4 times over the course of 2 weeks. And then I also had to submit documentation proving that I was myself, actually twice in one day, because they kept trying to push things through and the bank kept flagging it. Now, I understand that PayPal is just protecting me, but it was a hassle and made me feel I was already the victim, and I felt completely inconvenienced by something that I had reported as soon as it happened, and I felt like it should have been taken care of immediately. Anyway, long story short, I canceled my PayPal account, and I think the emails have finally quit coming, so they seem to have gotten everything worked out. But it is a real damper on my online shopping, which maybe is not necessarily a bad thing. But basically now, if the only way to pay online is through PayPal, I can't make that purchase because I don't have a PayPal account anymore. There are places like Unwind Yarn Company is a good example. She has it set up so that you can pay with PayPal. I mean, no, you can pay with a credit card, and it is handled by PayPal, but you don't actually have to have a PayPal account to do it. And I don't seem to have had any problems with that. The bank seemed to, I purchased something from her the other day, and the bank seems to have allowed that payment. So however it comes through, it wasn't flagged, luckily, by Wells Fargo. But if you have it set up that way, or if a vendor has it set up that way where you can make a credit card payment that's processed through PayPal without having to have an account, then I'm good. But otherwise, you know, I'm going to have to choose places that allow credit cards in a traditional fashion or purchase locally. And it's a real bummer. Because I'm afraid now that I'm going to not be able to purchase things that I really like because PayPal inconvenienced me. I'm really, really tired of places getting hacked and people's identities being stolen and not being comfortable paying for things because I'm afraid people are going to steal my money or my identity. So that's my thumbs down for this week. And thanks for letting me rant. I guess that's it. I will try to record again soon. I seem to be on about a 10-day schedule. It just really depends on my week. I think it's easier for me to record on the weekend, but it's also easier for me to record when there are not pressures on me to participate with my family, which of course comes first. Tonight my husband is actually doing a star party. He's not teaching it right now, but he is an astronomy teacher and is the sponsor for the astronomy club at his high school, and he's doing a star party tonight. So he's not here. My daughter is with him, and my son is playing video games in another room with his friend. So I actually had time to record. Other times it all depends. It's the one positive thing about my husband bringing home work as a teacher is that there are often times when he is busy, you know, grading papers or doing, or you're making a test or whatever, that allows me time to actually get in here and record. So hopefully it won't be 2 weeks before I record, and I will talk to y'all soon. Thanks for listening to me babble. Bye.